Hi, this is Matt Grant, and you're listening to the Malware Report with Randy Abrams. Randy, I wanted to spend some time today talking about the recent news that the BBC bought a botnet. Can you tell us a little bit more about this?
Yeah, but why don't I start off with an analogy? If I thought that there was a problem with people not locking their doors to their homes, tell me if this sounds like a good idea. Grab a camera crew, let's go around the neighborhood, check the doors on houses. If they're unlocked, go in, inside the house, leave a note, and come back out and close the door, leaving it unlocked. Does that sound like a good idea to you?
Not necessarily.
Well, the BBC bought a botnet, which means they bought access to a bunch of computers that are infected with a program that allows access to the computer. And then they use the computers to send spam. Now, they only send spam to their own addresses, so it's not like they're spamming your friends and family or you. And they also prove that they can do what's called a distributed denial of service attack, which cripples a website. And the website they crippled, the owner agreed to let them cripple. And they changed the wallpaper on the computers that they had commandeered. So they actually changed the desktop wallpaper on people's computers without their consent. They went into the people's computers without their consent and used the people's computers to make the point that botnets are a problem.
Well, I mean, how did they get their hands on the botnet in the first place? Do you know the backstory? Or?
Yeah, they with the help of some security experts, went through the back channels, the darknet channels, to contact a bot master, and they paid a few $1,000s to be able to use 22,000 computers, the bots. So that's how the bad guys do it, is they buy access to the botnets to send spam and do distributed denial of service attacks and steal information off computers, stuff like that. So the BBC did it the same way everyone else does it. The BBC claims that since they didn't have criminal intent, it was legal. But there are other experts that disagree. And since the infected computers are located all over the world, it doesn't mean it's legal in every country that they did it in. And quite likely, it was illegal in many countries, potentially in Great Britain, too.
Yeah, I guess that's what's interesting to me. I mean, you would think that no matter what the purpose is, that purchasing a botnet would be considered illegal, given its, you know, typical use.
Well, I'm not sure if purchasing the botnet is illegal, but using it certainly would be.
Right, using it in any regard, yeah, would seem to be. So I guess your opinion, overall, good idea, bad idea?
It was a pretty bad idea, I think. It's a good idea to raise awareness. It's very important.
Right.
But the implementation was not within the ethics of most people. And it will be interesting to see if there's any fallout, because a well-known security firm was potentially in collusion, because it was a well-known security firm that allowed the BBC to performed a distributed denial of service attack on their own website, which they're allowed to allow their website to be attacked. But that means that they knew the BBC was going to use other people's computers without authorization. And it's really shocking that a security company would be party to this kind of abuse.
I mean, is this the first type of campaign like this that has tried to raise awareness in this fashion?
It's the only one I'm aware of by an entity that didn't wish to remain anonymous.
Right.
You know, there's long been a debate going on about whether there's such a thing as a good virus or a good worm. And most of the experts agree, no, there is no such thing, but it keeps coming up. And there was a virus called Cruncher. It was a DOS virus written years ago that was an attempt to prove that there could be a good virus. And it would compress files so that you save disk space, which in that day, hard drives were pretty darn expensive, and so disk space was at a premium. That still didn't give the author the right to modify another person's program, whether or not it broke them, or, you know. So I'm not aware of any legitimate or any other company doing something precisely like this, no.
Do you think also that if someone were to do this, should it be a news organization like the BBC, or should it have been, I guess, someone with a little bit more experience in this realm?
I suspect the BBC got some competent experts to help them with it, but I don't think it should have been done. If we decide that this approach is how we want to alert users that their computers are infected, then that's the kind of thing that some laws need to be set up, and there's got to be adherence and monitoring. I mean, perhaps we'll get to the point where we say, we can find out what computers are infected, and we can alert the users, and if they're using the internet, their ISP has an agreement that gives them buy-in, where the consumer has been notified that if you got a bot on your computer, we have the right to notify you that there's a bot on the computer by doing such and such actions. So, you know, I can see where something along these lines might be feasible in the future, but for right now, simply taking control of a person's computer without their authorization is not a good idea.
Well, Randy, we certainly appreciate you taking the time to explain this in further detail and in a way that's easy to understand exactly what happened here. If you have any further questions on this topic, feel free to email Randy at askeset@eset.com. This has been Matt Grant, and you're listening to the Malware Report with Randy Abrams.